I am very thankful to be here with you guys today. I know that the power of the tongue has the power to give life and the power to give death. Proverbs 18 tells us that, and so does James. And I want you to know that I want you all to receive life from words. So any words that are spoken by this mouth, I want them to be from the Lord and from His blessing upon you. So I wanted to start us off with a song. It's only 59 seconds, so it's not going to be too long. But it speaks to me, and I want you to just kind of take a breath, silence your thoughts, like to all the distractions of the world and what's going on and what's the anxieties of your heart. And I want you to just focus on Jesus is going to speak to you and speak over you today. So we'll see if we can get the
time. Name Jesus. Till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Oh, starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
Jesus loves you. And I want you to hear that this morning. We cannot get anything from God or in life unless we know this truth. So my very favorite song in the whole world of all time is Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, for the Bible tells me so. I'm going to pray over you, and I'm going to pray from Psalm 33. So let's bow our heads. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You are the King of kings, the Lord of lords. We ask that your kingdom would come and your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I pray that your word would encourage each lady here. Open her heart and mind to hear with her mind and her heart, her feelings, to know who you are, how much you love her, your patience toward her. And I pray that you would fortify the soul of each of these women. For you look down from heaven and you see that all the children of man, from where you sit enthroned, you look out on all the inhabitants of the earth. You fashion each heart and observe all their deeds. Behold, Lord, your eye is on those who fear you, on those who hope in your steadfast love, that you may deliver their souls from death. Our soul waits for you, Lord. You are our help and our shield, for our heart is glad in you because we trust in your holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. And Lord, let this be our prayer today. We ask that you would work in our hearts in the next 20 minutes for your glory and good, that our light would shine in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the theme verse for this year, I was told, is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. And it was interesting when Drea told me that, because I've been studying 1 and 2 Peter and really living in these books for the last 5 or 6 weeks. And that verse says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise," and that specific promise to return to this earth, "as some count slowness, but he is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So what I want to look at, I'm going to tell you a story at the end of this short talk. And you know what? I don't know how many of you go away from a sermon and you say, "Oh, that was good," and then you don't remember it. So what I pray, I'm going to tell you three things I hope you're going to remember. I'm going to talk a little bit, and then I'm going to close with a story that will be those three things. So that we learn by story. You know, Jesus told a lot of parables, a lot of stories. So these are the things that I hope you will take away from this. Number one, that you can try to grasp the magnitude of how much Jesus loves you. Number two, that you begin to glimpse the amazing truth of God's patience toward you specifically. And number three, that your understanding of God's love and his call to be a part of his family and his patience toward you will change the way you live in your role as a wife and a mother. We've all heard the saying, patience is a virtue. And it is. It is a virtue. At the very basic meaning, patience means to wait without anxious thoughts, without a troubled heart. Whether you're waiting in traffic at the very lowest level, or whether you're waiting on some news that could be really good or really bad. Another common saying is, "Well, he has the patience of Job." And this saying reveals a bit deeper level. This patience goes beyond contented waiting. This means enduring suffering, persevering under trial, keeping your eyes on truth when everything in this world is screaming to pull you away from your true help. This deeper definition is the one that captures our deepest respect. When we witness someone who is bearing a weight, a continual weight, chronic, troublesome, and they stay faithful to Jesus, loving him more than their self, their blessing, any benefit, when we see that, our hearts are stirred, our spirits are inflamed, our eyes are filled with tears as we listen to those who in faith's courage say with Job, "The Lord gave and the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." We can't say that naturally, right? How many of you know there's a comedian named Tim Allen? He's maybe in his 70s, I don't know. He's an older guy. And I think he has professed to be a Christian. And he just put out on X yesterday, "I have finally forgiven the man who killed my dad in 1964 when I was a kid. For 60 years, I have set my heart on hate and chosen I will not forgive him. But something happened to me when I watched a young widow proclaimed to the world, 'I forgive the man who shot my husband.' And that changed everything." And he exercised forgiveness and wrote down, "I do forgive this man who killed my dad." So the power of that, because Jesus said it, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," in his deepest suffering. And he showed us the way. This is the patience of God. So he waits for us. He suffered for us. If you read the account of what they did to him before the crucifixion, the mocking, the punching, the spitting, the flogging, and he endured that hostility of sinners against himself without lashing back. This is true patience. He endured his, God the Father endured his righteous Son being voluntarily put to the vilest death, substituted for every ungodly sinner, and particularly a wicked murderer and thief, Barabbas. And Barabbas was put up hoping, Pilate was hoping maybe they'll choose Jesus because Barabbas is so bad. And did you know Bar means son of, Abba means the father. Barabbas's very name is a fake. Son of the Father, when the real Son of the Father, Jesus Christ, is standing there and they choose Barabbas. So you think about what God has endured at the hands of evil men, suffered the ultimate patience as being put to death, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. There is purpose in suffering. The classic question is, well, if God is so good, why does he allow suffering in this world? But you know, he in an instant could take out all the suffering. But you know what would happen? Every human being would just poof, vanish. Because we all have the seed of darkness in our heart. And in order to get rid of evil, he'd have to get rid of all of us. But he's patient. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So he's waiting. There's purpose and there's not meaninglessness. And so God uses the ugly, the suffering in this world, and he turns it to good and to a useful purpose. This is true love. And we must know the Father and the Son both suffered for our good to bring us to God. When you think about God's patience and kindness in waiting is recorded in 2 Peter 3:9, where he's not wishing that any should perish, but waiting that everyone could come. But he still gives people an opportunity. They can say no. They're not robots. Think of your own heart toward your children in light of this. Your husband, relatives, neighbors. How can you develop this deep godlike godliness, patience that he has shown you? You know, when you walk in Bethany, there's the center circle thing that's hanging from the ceiling. And it says, following Christ together. And that's one of the blessings of being here with other believing friends. You can help each other. The being a follower is someone who wants to be like. So a disciple means to be like Jesus or to be like God. That's what godliness is. And so how can we learn that? And it's, if you look in 2 Peter chapter 1, he gives us a roadmap. And so I'm going to give you guys a challenge. You have 12 weeks of moments this year. I want you to take up this challenge. Read the book of 2 Peter. It's only 3 chapters. In the weeks between your next meeting. So you got 2 weeks, right? You got you meet every other week, right? So you have 2 weeks to read those 3 chapters. That by the time you'll have read the book through 12 times, if you can do this, and mark it up, anything that comes to you, maybe take a journal, you will learn a lot just by doing that. And I know it's hard with babies, but it's 3 little chapters. So over 2 weeks, you should be able to make that. But chapter 1 of 2 Peter gives us a roadmap of how can we learn this patience from the Lord. We can't do it on our own. I'm going to read a little bit of that, and I think you're going to have a discussion question on this verse, but 2 Peter chapter 1, and I know you guys don't have your Bible, and that's not, well, it isn't really a Bible study, but I just want to just quickly read this to you. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness is that thing that helps us become like God. Through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises. So through them, you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that's in the world because of sinful desire. So he's given you his power through Jesus Christ, and the promise is the faith you attach to that. And then he says, make every effort to add to your faith virtue. When I think of virtue, I think of patience. So I want you, in the terms of you guys' focus on patience, this verse, all of these things relate to patience. Virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, that's endurance, keeping on, persevering, godliness, that's who he's like, brotherly affection, and love. Those qualities, I want you to take those qualities and mull over them and think, this is God's gift. I don't have to muster this. I have Jesus to help me. But these things have to be increasing in my life. I need these things. That'll help put into practice this 2 Peter 3:9. This is how God is. He's waiting patiently for us. So he gives us his all of these things, these that we can add, and we can take his word into our heart. So if you're putting that in every 2 weeks, you're getting it over and over, focus on that. In conclusion, I want to tell you a story that took place 2 weeks ago. It impacted my life so powerfully that I was just walking around like, how did this God gave this to me for my own heart, but also I think for you guys. When our son and daughter-in-law and 3 grandkids came to visit, we had just gotten back from Jim Burkle's funeral, and my son Daniel, who lives in Colorado, and wife Lizzie, and myself and the 3 kids all had to go to Sam's. And we had to just get something, and it was kind of busy, and we have the cart, and Lizzie has that great app where you don't even have to check out. You just, you know, which is great. But she said, oh, I want to get some, I don't know if whether it was a hot dog or pizza for the kids. So Daniel and I, he had the cart, and he's like 6'4", really strong, big, it's important to know, pushing the cart, and here's little, just turned 2, Skylar. Okay, she's in the cart, sitting down in the seat. The 2 bigger boys were with mom at the cafe. We had just come out, and Skylar starts fussing, and she gets her heels up, and she's just trying to jump out of that cart. And then she's screeching, and like, she is having a, I need to get down. And her will was saying, looks fun over here. This looks fun over here. I got to get out. And so I was thinking back to when I was a young mom, and I'm like, this is like a nightmare. You don't want your kid screaming in the store. I'm like, oh, I remember these days. And I'm right here, and here's Daniel. Here's Skylar. I'm this close. And he leans in, and he says, Skylar, you're not getting out. You're not getting out right now. Quiet, peaceful, authoritative, gentle. And she's looking around, and she's squeaking. And he says, Skylar, look at me. And she just held his gaze for about 1 second. Then she's like, here, you know. And then he says, he leans in. He's like 3 inches from her eyeballs. Big, soft voice, quiet, but so solid, firm. Skylar, look at me. And I watched her look, gaze stayed on her dad, and her body just relaxed. And I watched her face brighten into this smile. Peace came over her. Contentedness. She stayed looking at her dad, and he said, it's going to be okay. We're going to go home real soon, Skylar. I was the little toddler in the chair, right? I saw myself as this is how I am when God's telling me something. Struggling. No, I want to do this way. I want to do that way. And how does our Heavenly Father treat us? Proximity. He's right there. He says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That is the secret. As a mom, you look at that and you think, okay, how can I be like that? I talked to Daniel just a couple days ago. I hadn't even talked to him about this, what I observed. I shared with him, I said, Daniel, I know Skylar's getting into these, you know, they call them terrible twos. Some people have them, some people don't. But she does. And I told Daniel, I said, do what you did right there. Keep doing that, because what happened to her was she recognized, I'm not going to get my way, but it wasn't a fight. My Father loves me. My Father loves me. And when she recognized that, peace came over her. She quit striving. And then when he says, cease striving and know that I am God. Waiting on the Lord is not just ho-hum. No, we are looking at him. And in these days, you guys, God was designed. He wants peace over you and through you. And whether it's with your husband, your child, your parents, your other family members, siblings, or friend, neighbors, he's shining his light through his people. And he's calling us to be bright. So my encouragement for you is to this season, now that you're in moments and you can say, Lord, what do I need to develop this patience in my own life? And you know, patience, when you God gives us hardships. That's how he teaches us to wait. I mean, Skylar did have a little bit of a hardship. She just couldn't get her way. You know, but remember, our Father is gentle. He's kind and he's good. And those are the things that the enemy of our souls attacks.
I think you
turned on your speaker.
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it sounded like.
I thought it was your speaker.
I know. It was the effect. Effects. But yes, God wants to develop patience in all of us. And he wants to see us to see ourselves as his daughter. He bought us with his own blood. We are no longer just sinners saved by grace. We are saints. We are purchased. We are his daughter. We have access to the throne of God by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we have the right to be called his child. So I just want to encourage you to think of this as the challenge for the year. I want to learn more about you, Lord, how you are patient, and help me to be like you. And whatever circumstance that's happening, help me to turn my eyes upon Jesus and speak words of life. Speak words of life to your children. Let them know you love them. You know, and in closing, I'll just say this. One of my thoughts as a mom, I would, if I could do anything more back, you know, change something, I would have a less clean house and I would play with my children on the floor more. I look at that now, how stupid. I did have a really clean house, and I did get them involved in it, but I didn't feel like that took away from just relationship. And you can have the kids help, and it doesn't have to be a messy house. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying get our focus on the relational part with these children as much as possible. And I know moms have so many things to do. So anyway, I just want you to remember, God loves you. He's patient towards you. And He wants you to have those qualities come back out to your children and your husband. So let's just close in prayer. Father, and just thank You for Your word. Thank You that You are the author of life, the giver of life. You speak words of life. You say, cast all of our cares on You because You care for us. I pray a blessing upon each one of these ladies and her children and her children's children and her husband and her family. And we pray that You would shine Your face upon her today and forever. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.